This podcast of The Exchange is supported by Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucettesurvey.com. That's D-O-U-C-E-T survey.com.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The holiday shopping season for health insurance opened this weekend for those who want to purchase coverage on the marketplaces set up by the Affordable Care Act. New Hampshire residents who went to the state's healthcare.gov website found an expanded set of choices compared to last year. Instead of one insurer, five. Instead of a dozen plans, more than three dozen. But not everyone will have access to all this. Some companies are operating regionally, not statewide, and each has its own provider network. It's a lot to sift through, a big choice to make, and costs will vary from person to person, but people do have until February to sort it out, and there's a plethora of brokers and navigators to help clarify the process. What's not clear is the future of the law itself. Republicans campaigned against the ACA, and they'll soon be in charge on Capitol Hill. Also, another legal challenge to the law is now before the U.S. Supreme Court. Today in The Exchange, a new season for the Affordable Care Act. Let's hear from you if you've got questions about the brand new enrollment period that just began over the weekend, or observations on how this law has or has not worked in New Hampshire. Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Joining us for the hour are Stephanie Dunn. She's an independent insurance agent with offices in Alton. Stephanie, thanks for being with us.
Good to have you.
And Jenny Patterson is in studio, health legal counsel at the New Hampshire Insurance Department. And Jenny, welcome back. Good to see you.
Thanks, Lori. Happy to be here.
And also with us, Jack Rodolico, NHPR's health and science reporter. And Jack, thanks for helping us out.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, Jack, just remind us what this shopping season or enrollment season is all about.
Well, so, you know, under the Affordable Care Act, the probably one of the most controversial things about the law has been the fact that everyone does need to purchase health insurance or face a tax penalty. And the marketplace is set up to make sure that that is affordable for people, right? So, you know, most people in the country have insurance. Maybe you get it through your job, or maybe you get it through your spouse's job or something like, or retirement, Medicare, Medicaid. But there's, in the state, there's still about 100,000 people that don't have health insurance. And so the marketplace is there as an online shopping tool like Amazon or something else. Amazon's a little bit easier to use probably, but it's there. So you can go on and shop one health insurance plan against another and find one that hopefully fits for your situation and get a subsidy. About 80-something percent of the people who got plans on the exchange in New Hampshire last year received a tax subsidy to do so. Subsidized premiums, subsidized deductibles, everything like that.
So the sticker price isn't necessarily what you end up paying. It's kind of like college tuition. There's a sticker price and then you get grants and loans and so forth.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy.
So what did we learn, Jenny, from last year's enrollment period? It wasn't a very happy time.
Yeah, well, the insurance department's not involved in enrollment, but what we do is we help consumers when they have issues that come up after they're enrolled. And I think that one of the biggest lessons for this enrollment season, based on what we heard from consumers in 2014, is get help from somebody who knows New Hampshire, who knows the New Hampshire plans. So we have people who, for instance, enrolled in what's called a multi-state plan, thinking it meant they could use their benefits out of state because they talked to someone at the National 800 number who wasn't familiar with the New Hampshire-specific plans. We have a lot of people who are ready to help in New Hampshire, and it's much more complicated this year because there are so many more choices. So it's really important for people to talk to someone who can help make sure that they actually understand what they're choosing.
Yeah, and I mentioned in the introduction, but I'd love to hear from you, Jenny. Just remind us how different it is this time around.
Right. This year, we have five insurance carriers who are offering plans. As you mentioned, they all have different networks, and it's really important for consumers because if they go out of network with most or all of these plans, they'll have to pay out of pocket. So they need to look carefully at which providers are in their network. There is information available both on the insurance department website and on the carrier's website. So people can really drill down this year and look and really understand what they're buying.
And Stephanie Dunn, you are working with people to help them figure out which plan to pick. What are some of the big questions that you're getting from folks?
Well, probably the first question we get is there a provider in the network? And as Jenny mentioned, each of the carriers has a different network capacity in different hospitals, different providers, and so we guide them in that way. And the other questions that we get really have to do with how each individual uses healthcare. You know, are they do they need to go to the doctor often? Are they very healthy and only want to go for preventative stuff unless something major happens? Those are the kinds of questions that we hear most often at this point.
And are you flooded, Stephanie, or not yet?
Yes, very busy for the first several weeks, and then things taper off as we get into the next period. November 15th through December 15th is the enrollment for plans, which would begin on January 1st. And then we go to February 1st and then March 1st. And so those appointments lag behind a little bit, but getting more and more calls every day.
All right. And one more quick question for you, Stephanie. Then I do want to go to our callers. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Stephanie, just remind us how insurance agents are paid, because some people listening might think, well, Stephanie has an incentive to steer me towards the most expensive plan because she'll get a bigger cut. But that's not how it works.
Not at all. When we're doing on-exchange enrollments, we're paid a flat fee per person per month, no matter what plan they choose, no matter whether they choose bronze, silver, gold, or platinum. It makes absolutely no difference. Our job is to guide people to the plan that's most appropriate for them according to what needs they've specified, their budget, et cetera.
Okay, go ahead, Jack. Please.
Yeah, and you know, just one thing to add to that is there's two sides of the fact that there are two sides of the coin here. More choice is good, and more choice is confusing. So consumers have much better options than they did last year. All the hospitals are integrated. You can find any provider, any doctor that's going to take a plan from the exchange. So that's good. The problem is that it's a lot of choice. So people like Stephanie and other brokers, there's people all over the state, scattered throughout the state, hundreds of people who are qualified to help you find a plan, and it's not going to cost you anymore. So that's really why the state and everyone else is advising people just find someone who can help you, because it's confusing. You need an advanced degree to figure out how to do this.
Yeah, and brokers and navigators, Jenny, there's a difference.
That's right. So Stephanie is licensed by the insurance department. Agents are licensed. They're actually allowed to recommend a particular plan to a consumer. There is also a very robust network in New Hampshire of other assisters. They may be called marketplace assisters or navigators. They're also qualified to help people. They cannot recommend a particular plan, but they are very, very knowledgeable about the tax credits, about using the healthcare.gov website. And basically, they can teach someone to select for themselves. So I think the other thing is that consumers can use both. They can use both a navigator and an assister, and that may well be in their best interest.
And people should know, too, that the navigators are paid through the federal government, but they also work typically with community health centers. So if you have a community health center in your area, that's a good resource. Call them up and ask for a navigator or see if they can direct you to one.
Let's take some calls. Again, the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. We're taking your questions and comments about round two for healthcare.gov here in the Granite State, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. And first up is Ray in Litchfield. Hi, Ray. You're on the exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Actually, I called in last year on October 15th when it started. And I was mentioning how back then my wife and I had our own private insurance. And under the ACA, the plan went from $690 a month to close to $1,100 a month.
Wow.
And we could not afford that. That was the silver plan. Even the bronze plan was $900 a month. And we do not qualify for subsidies. We make more than the 400% of poverty, but not a whole lot more that we could afford to take that that hit. So we have been without insurance now for 6 months, and looking at the going to the health this year, they'll let you window shop, so you don't have to do anything. You don't have to enter in all your information, but find out what plans are. All you have to do is get your age and age of your dependents. And looking at, okay, you know, ISMA, five companies, and there's a bunch of plans, but they're all within dollars of each other, and they're all still too expensive if you have to pay for it yourself.
So, Ray, thanks for calling in. It sounds like, Jack, that the Affordable Care Act is not so affordable for Ray and his family. They don't qualify for the subsidies, just barely, which must be frustrating. What are you hearing about prices this time around? Thanks for the call, Ray.
Well, it's interesting. You know, healthcare, no matter what, is going to be expensive. Health insurance is expensive. Healthcare is very expensive. And the law has some measures in it to try to bring costs down, but that is a long-term thing. You're not going to see costs drop immediately. But in the short term, you know, you can really hear the frustration there, and he's not the only person you're going to find out there that says, look, like I just can't afford these plans. That's a big deal. It's not a small thing for people, although at the same time, you do see what will probably only frustrate some people more, excuse me, is that a lot of the plans, the prices have stayed the same or dropped in New Hampshire. In a lot of parts of the country, prices are still going up pretty dramatically, up to 20%, whereas in certain parts of New Hampshire, some plans on the exchange have dropped almost 20%.
Wow.
So, you know, that doesn't necessarily make it affordable for everyone, though. So it's frustrating for a lot of people.
Well, and Stephanie, to you too, again, sitting down with customers one-on-one, are some of them finding that the Affordable Care Act is affordable? And for some, like Ray, it's not affordable.
I've had a couple of customers who don't qualify for the subsidy for the advanced tax credit and struggle with the cost of premiums. There are some options for them, but it's important to remember that if they're not covered with an ACA-compliant plan for 2015, they do face a 2% penalty of their adjusted gross income, or $325 per person, whichever is greater. So they have to balance those things. There are some short-term medical options that would give catastrophic coverage, but they're not ACA-compliant, and they're still going to face that tax penalty.
All right. Well, and maybe after a short break, we can talk a little bit more about what ACA compliant means. And Jenny, that's a question for you. We'll continue to take your questions and comments, too, at 1-800-892-6477. If you have questions about this brand new marketplace enrollment period, what it means, or just your observations, like Ray, on how this law has or has not worked for you in the Granite State. Again, give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Back in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, buying health insurance in New Hampshire under the Affordable Care Act. As we've been hearing over the weekend, round two of the new enrollment period began for the ACA's online insurance marketplaces. Last year's rollout in New Hampshire was marred by technical flaws and limited choice. It's a different picture this time. We're finding out some of the pluses and minuses of the enrollment period that, again, just started this weekend. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jack Rodolico's here, NHPR's health and science reporter, Jenny Patterson with the New Hampshire Insurance Department, and on the phone, Stephanie Dunn, an independent insurance agent with offices in Alton. All of you, before we go back to our listeners, Jenny, I did want to ask you, our caller Ray, just before the break, mentioned his ACA, his plan was no longer compliant under the ACA, so he had to go on to the marketplace. He was not happy. It was a lot more expensive. What does that mean, ACA compliant?
Yes, Laura. So there were a bunch of new requirements that took effect as of January 1st, 2014, both for individual plans and also for small group plans. In New Hampshire, there weren't big changes for the small group plans, but there were changes for the individual plans. So there were certain services that had to be covered, such as maternity, mental health, substance abuse benefits that previously did not have to be covered in New Hampshire. There were also changes in the way that the policies were rated. So, for instance, there could be consideration for someone's health status prior to January 1st, 2014 in the individual market. That is no longer true. So a plan that's not ACA compliant would be one that didn't include all of those new changes for 2014.
And is no longer allowed to be sold.
Actually, they were allowed to be renewed. So people who had those policies at the end, you know, this time last year, were able to renew them and actually will be able to renew them going forward. But they can't be bought by someone who didn't have one previously.
And that's been a point of frustration, right, Jack, for people who look at some of these ACA compliant plans and they say, well, I don't have a substance abuse problem, or, you know, I'm in my 50s and I'm not going to have children, so why do I need maternity coverage? I mean, some people feel like these ACA compliant plans are too fat, and that's why they're expensive.
Yeah, and I think that goes to the heart of what so many people dislike about the law, is that it requires them to do something that they don't want to do. The big picture idea with the law is to get everyone covered, because if you have everyone in the pool, then there's less risk for any one individual, right? And hopefully that brings costs down, and it stops, you know, people from going to emergency rooms because they have the flu or something like that. But yeah, that's insurance, right? You're paying for something that you might not necessarily use, and some people don't want to do that, and you kind of can't blame them, but it sort of is the law now, and you're going to get a tax penalty if you don't. You know, when I talked to Stephanie Dunn, originally she had a really good quote, which was essentially, you know, whether you like it or not, this thing is here. And it's, you have to find whatever is the least distasteful way for you to deal with it. That's a good idea. But at the same token, there are some people who love this law specifically because they could not get coverage before,
they had a pre-existing condition, or it was just too expensive.
Or it's too expensive, yeah, absolutely. And for many of those people, the fact that there are now five insurers on the marketplace is really exciting, because, you know, they've had really very few options for many years now.
All right. Lots of emails coming in, and I want to throw this one to you, Stephanie Dunn, please. This is from Seth. He says, I'm a graduate student. At the moment, I finished my undergrad just before the age to be included on my parents' insurance was extended. So I lost my coverage in 06 when I graduated. Haven't had any since. Seth says, though I'm a New Hampshire resident, I'm out of state most of the time. I've been uninsured for 8 years and haven't seen any advantage to being insured. I know this year the penalty is around $100 and am considering foregoing another year of coverage because it will still cost less than being covered. Seth says, what's your opinion of these factors and my decision? So there's Seth, Stephanie, a young person, just the kind of person that insurance companies want to sign up, saying, nah, too expensive, not worth it.
So as I understand it, he's not eligible for his parents' coverage. Is that correct?
That's what he says.
Okay. So he travels a lot. There are PPOs that would cover him everywhere in the country. There is one company that would cover him nicely under the New Hampshire plans. I understand his frustration, and he may choose the penalty, but that leaves him with no coverage. So
that's a risk that a lot of young people are willing to take, though, right? They're like, hey, I haven't been to the doctor in years. It should be fine. Cross my fingers, but it should be fine.
It is a risk that a lot of young people are willing to take. And unfortunately, it could really not serve them well if something unexpected did occur. So he has, you know, Seth has the options of kind of swallowing it and going with a bronze plan that would cover him the best, you know, its best capacity, or going with a short-term medical plan. They're less expensive, but they would not be ACA compliant, and he would still have the penalty at the end of the year.
Yeah, or he's choosing to not go with a plan at all. And Jenny, I just wonder, looking at the numbers of who enrolled last time around, how many were these so-called young invincibles?
Actually, I was going to make another point,
sure,
which is that another option for him might be a catastrophic plan. Those are plans that are available only to people who are under 30 years old, and they are somewhat cheaper, but it would prevent, as Stephanie said, kind of the catastrophic
event. So if you're in a car accident or something. So you can still sell those even under these more fatter plans, for lack of a better word, ACA-compliant plans. You can still have those sort of bare-bones catastrophic plans if you're under 30.
This is, yeah, it's a category of plans that actually are available on the marketplace, but only to specific populations, those who are under 30 or if they have kind of a hardship exemption.
All right. Did you want to jump in there, Stephanie, for a second?
No, I was just going to say that's an excellent point. And the under 30 and certain financial situations, yes, that could be an option.
Okay. Thanks again for the email, Seth. The number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Here's another email. This is from Honey. She says, if a person has an Anthem plan for 2014, must he or she review plans and make any change by the 15th of December or be automatically renewed in Anthem? are the dates after the 15th of December really only for new enrollees? Okay, help us out with this. Thank you, honey, for the email. Jenny, go ahead. If you're on Anthem now, you liked it, you had no problem with it last time around, can you just sit back and relax?
This is a great question, and this is a point that the insurance department has really been trying to emphasize. Everybody should go and look at their options, even if they did have coverage for 2014. Part of the reason is if someone was covered with a tax credit, if they qualified for a tax credit, those tax credits are recalculated every year based on the market plans that are available for that year, so the second lowest silver plan. So if this person who sent the email is receiving a subsidy, that subsidy could change and it could actually go down. So if they auto-renew on the Anthem plan, then the amount of subsidy would be incorrect. So that's one really important reason why people ought to check. The other thing is there's one thing that's new in New Hampshire this year that wasn't available last year, and that's the New Hampshire Health Protection Program. So there are some people who enrolled in Anthem plans with tax credits for 2014 who would have been eligible for Medicaid if New Hampshire had expanded at that point.
Yeah.
Those people, it's really important for them to go back to marketplace.gov so they can switch over to the coverage that's now available that started August 15th.
Okay, so honey, looks like you do have to review. It's a good question. Thank you for the email. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I just want to underline that yes, definitely go back on. If you have a plan, if you're one of the 40,000 or so people that got a plan last year, go on and put in all your information again, because it could be a tax headache for you if your financial information changed, or even if it didn't, like Jenny said, the subsidies are changing. Do it. Definitely
right.
Go on and do it.
And let's take a call. This is Jim in Manchester. Hi, Jim. You're on the exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. I wanted to ask a question about the new programs. The Affordable Care Act has worked very well for my family. But now we're faced with a real predicament. All of our medical services are provided by the Elliott Hospital and the Elliott doctors. And I understand that they will not be included this time around, at least in the Anthem plans. Will that be resolved? Because I remember years ago, the doctors had the same fight with Blue Anthem, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. Will that be resolved, and will we have to really look at something different? It means we will have to change all of our doctors, et cetera.
Okay. Thank you very much. And Stephanie, why don't you take that first? Go ahead.
I don't believe that the Elliott Hospital issue will be resolved with Anthem for 2015. There are three other carriers that do cover the Elliott Hospital. So my best suggestion would be that you need to make a plan change for 2015 if you want to remain connected to Elliott Hospital and the doctor practices.
So your understanding, Stephanie, is even though Anthem, and I did hear that in the news as well, Jim, even though Anthem isn't working with the Elliott, several other plans are. It's a major hospital,
yes,
in a major population center.
That's correct.
Okay. And Stephanie, thank you so much. I know you have lots of clients who need your time and attention. I really appreciate you being with us today.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I'm really pleased that you've done this piece.
Stephanie Dunn, she's an independent insurance agent with offices in Alton. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Jenny and Jack, do you want to follow up also on Jim's question? The Elliott Hospital, it's a big deal.
Yep. Thanks, Laura. One piece of information for Jim that I wanted to get out there is the insurance department does have a lot of information on our website that's available about which hospitals are in which networks. And there's a link that I understand is going to be posted on the NHPR website to that information. And as Stephanie said, every hospital in New Hampshire is in at least three carriers' networks.
That's
so
a big change.
If there's
from
someone
last time
who
around
wants to stick with a particular provider, then that would be an important piece for them to look at.
So he will have to switch insurers, but he won't have to switch doctors.
Right.
Which is important for folks. Your doctor gets to know you.
There are so many multiple things for people to look at in terms of price, network, all of the trade-offs, but certainly that would be an option for him.
Go ahead, Jack.
And that really speaks to the competition between these five insurance companies and the thing, you know, so it might feel frustrating that you have to change your plan because you want to stick with your doctor, and that is frustrating. But at the same time, these companies are competing for your business, and they're all trying to offer you something that the other ones are not. So, for example, Assurant Health is really marketing plans that are more high-end plans. Harvard Pilgrim is offering plans that have acupuncture coverage. Maine Community Health Options are offering plans specifically for families with someone with a chronic illness. Minuteman is also expanding their entire Massachusetts network to people that live in the state of New Hampshire. So if you live in Salem or if you live in the southern tier of the state and you want connections with Massachusetts doctors, they might be the right insurance company for you. So that's something to keep in mind, is you're not going to get the same package with – despite network, you might get different coverage if you go with different providers, different insurers, excuse me. Yeah,
that's a good point. So it sounds like, though, you really have to dig into – what each plan offers, where, when,
you do.
How.
And again, that's why it comes back to trying to find a professional who can help you navigate this, because you can come to a broker or to a navigator and say, okay, we're a family of five. My husband has a history of colon cancer. My kids have asthma, and we live in Keene, and they're going to help you find the plan that best fits for your part of the state and your family's history.
You know, it's interesting too, Jack, to me this time around is two, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, two out of these five carriers are nonprofits. So they kind of have a different approach, different philosophy. You mentioned one of them covers acupuncture.
Right, yeah. And that's something that I think people would be interested to know, is that, you know, Maine Community Health Options is a cooperative. And they did very well on the marketplace in Maine last year. And they received a federal loan, a big federal loan of $60 million, something like that, to expand into New Hampshire. Harvard Pilgrim is a nonprofit, right, Jenny? And Minuteman is also a cooperative that it started in Massachusetts just last year. Two of these insurance companies are brand new. It's a more versatile market. It's interesting. You don't just have one big conglomerate competing against another big conglomerate. You've got, you know, big company, small company, nonprofit company. And the other part of that that's important is if you drill down to one or two plans that you like, call the insurance company. They have stacked up their call centers to receive prospective calls. And if you really want to drill down, I think this is very important for people who have some type of medical history, because those are the people who know that they might be, you know, they're going to have higher out-of-pocket costs over the long term. So whoever you are, if you have a plan that you like, call the insurance company themselves, get on the phone with them, and figure out if there's someone that you want to work with.
Okay, let's take another call. And this is Peter in Keene. Hi, Peter, go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Good morning. I had a kind of a fundamental question about the logic behind this law, and that is that, if I understand it correctly, you can't be penalized for pre-existing conditions. Is that true?
Is that right, Jenny?
Yes. Well, part of the law is that there's no more pre-existing condition exclusion. You cannot be rated higher because you have a medical condition.
So my question is, it almost sounds like you'd be better off to wait and get insurance if you get sick.
So that is one. That's a great point, and that's one of the reasons that the insurance department is really so focused on getting the word out about this open enrollment period. One of the ways that the law addresses that is by limiting enrollment in individual plans to a specific period during the year. So this is true for everyone, regardless of whether or not they use the marketplace. If they want to enroll in coverage for 2015, they have to do it between November 15th and February 15th. If they get sick later and want coverage, that is not an event that qualifies them to go and buy coverage.
So if you get sick on February 16th,
and you didn't buy coverage, you can't get coverage until 2016.
It does raise the broader question, though. Thank you for the call, Peter. Peter raises it, Jack, and Seth raises it, too. It sounds like some folks listening today are choosing, you know, I'm just not going to do this.
It's gambling. Yeah, I think that's what insurance is, right? The insurance company is sort of gambling on you, and you're sort of gambling on the insurance company. That's essentially what insurance is. And I think the law has incentives and disincentives in it. It's just like speeding. It's like, if I'm on a highway and I know that I suspect that there are no cops and I'm going to drive 65, you know, you're taking on some kind of risk. And I think you're doing the same thing when you decide to not get insurance, especially, and that's traditionally why the youngest Americans are the least likely to get their own insurance policies, because they're healthy. They've had no real personal experience with health or sickness. And so, yeah, it's a gamble. And there are, I'm sure there's going to be people out there who just continue to refuse to get coverage because they would rather pay the tax penalty or because they have an ideological belief that they don't have to be told to buy insurance. I mean, there's plenty of reasons to not do it, but there's also a lot of pretty big incentives to do it.
Okay, let's take another call. Thank you, Peter, for that one. Tina's in Laconia. Hi, Tina. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have a question. I am currently... Are you there? I'm sorry.
Yes, we're here. Tina, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, Laura. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm currently covered under the ACA under one of Anthem's, obviously, plans. And all of the plans have the same benefits as every other plan out there on the market. I had an accident in January, and I'm still recovering from, all of the plans, whether they be the most expensive or least expensive, all have the same benefits. In my case, 20 physical therapy visits in a calendar year. For my particular break, it takes about a year and a half to recover from that. I ran out of visits in July, and here it is. It's almost November. It is November. And I have spoken with the state representatives and tried to speak with them and find out who's responsible for working with the insurance companies, because all of my every time I go for physical therapy now, it comes completely out of my pocket.
Yeah,
what
it gets
is someone
expensive.
Like me supposed to do? It's incredibly expensive, and I'm not able to work yet either. So we have one income.
Wow, Tina, and I'm sorry about your accident. And you're right, when you have trauma, it takes a lot of physical therapy to get you back on your feet. Absolutely, and paying out of pocket, you know, once or twice a week really starts to add up. We're heading into a short break, Tina, so just hang on the line if you could, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. We can also take your calls and questions, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. More conversation about healthcare.gov enrollment 2.0 in just a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, we sit down with NPR's new president and CEO, Jarl Mohn. Today, we're talking about the Affordable Care Act, the online health insurance marketplace, and the new enrollment season that just opened up over the weekend. We're taking your questions and comments at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jenny Patterson is here, health legal counsel at the New Hampshire Insurance Department, along with Jack Rodolico, NHPR's health and science reporter. And Jenny, just before the break, we heard from Tina. She had an accident. And like a lot of folks, after an accident, you need a lot of physical therapy to get back on your feet. There's limits on that, and she's wondering, you know, look, I really need this. What can I do?
Yep. Thanks, Laura. I mean, one thing that consumers can always do if they have an issue with their insurance company is to contact the New Hampshire Insurance Department. We do have consumer services representatives who are available. The number is 271-2261 in New Hampshire. And it sounded like, Tina, you may have done that, and it may be that we cannot help you where it's an actual service limit, but we have been able to help a bunch of consumers who have had issues with their companies.
And in terms of the re-enrollment period that we're talking about this hour, Jenny, there may be, now that there's five plans,
right,
five companies on the market, right, Jack? There be plans that offer better PT coverage.
That might be the case. Yeah, I think moving forward, was it Tina, right? What she might want to do is just shop, you know, see if there's other plans out there that will have more generous benefits when it comes to physical therapy. But if you did want to stick with that plan, just it sounds like it might be a little after the fact for her. But if it's not, and this is advice for other people too, you can always appeal. You can always call the insurance company directly and say, I need more. I need to appeal this decision. And you can get your doctor on board to sign and write a letter or get on the phone with the insurance company. And you can push back against that and try to get more visits, whether it's physical therapy, mental health, anything like that. And most doctors are more than happy to help you go through that process. And if you get the appeal rejected, you can often appeal the appeal. So I would push back a little bit.
Jenny.
Yes, and our consumer services folks do help people with those appeals. There are several levels of appeals. There are internal appeals within the insurance company, and then there are also what are called external appeals. that are with an independent organization, and we do have folks who can help with that. The other thing is, in terms of comparing the plan details, I don't know personally about the PT limits, but there is posted on the Insurance Department website a detailed chart that compares the benefits in the 2015 plan, so that might be something that would be worth looking at.
Well, we got an email earlier from Honey who wanted to know about if somebody has an Anthem plan for 2014, what are the deadlines for reviewing plans once again. So what are the deadlines, Jenny? Honey feels like we weren't clear on what the absolute deadlines are.
Right. Well, if someone wants to be covered in 2015 as of
January 1st,
they have to sign up by December 15th.
Okay.
And if they don't do that and they're in an Anthem plan, they probably will be auto-enrolled in a comparable plan or the same plan. But again, that's not necessarily going to be in their best interest. So if people really want to be covered for the entire calendar year, it really would make sense to go and look right now.
All right.
So you don't just – can I just clarify that, ask Jenny that question? So if you don't – if you have an Anthem plan from 2014 and you are – we're giving this advice that you should re-enroll, you're saying that they have to do that by December 15th? The whole open enrollment period is not open to them? They really need to re-enroll prior to 2015?
No, they would – I think that there, it would just be confusing. I think – so
oh, okay.
In order to start coverage 1-1, you have to enroll by December 15th. If someone was on an Anthem plan for this year, they realized in January that they wanted to switch to a different plan, they could do that. And they probably would have been automatically enrolled. So they would be covered.
Okay.
But it does make sense to do it now if they're going to make the switch. And then the other population is if there's somebody who is eligible for the New Hampshire Health Protection Program who
Medicaid expansion,
who'd been receiving a tax credit, they do need to enroll by December 15th because otherwise the tax credit might continue forward and they wouldn't want that to happen.
All right. Honey, I hope that clarifies it for you. And let's go to Marilyn. She's calling in. Go ahead, Marilyn. You're on the exchange.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you so much for having this show. I'm a project coordinator for outreach and enrollment with Bi-State Primary Care Association, and we have several navigators situated throughout the state at our community health centers. And just before you close, I just wanted to reiterate two ways for your listeners to find assistance with certified assisters. And I think somebody mentioned already coveringnewhampshire.org is a great place, but also to find a community health center where there are certified navigators and also certified application counselors. People can go to findahealthcenter.org. That's findahealthcenter.org. And they can input their location, and they will be able to find all the community health centers, like I say, around the state where they can get in-person or phone assistance.
Okay, Marilyn, thank you. And we did get an email as well. Someone said, please be sure to mention Covering New Hampshire, coveringnewhampshire.org, to see a comparison of plans, how to get help. So lots of information out there, lots of websites and so forth. How do you make sure, Jenny, that some of these websites aren't, you know, I don't know, selling you wooden nickels?
Well, Covering New Hampshire is a really important one to mention because it really is the official website. It's operated by the New Hampshire Health Plan, and that is the official resource that really coordinates all of the New Hampshire-specific information and the New Hampshire-specific in-person assisters. And I'm glad that Marilyn called because she has been working with them as well. So if someone wants to find someone who knows New Hampshire, they have on Covering New Hampshire, they have lists of both assisters and producers, and you can sort the agents and brokers by zip code. So it's a really good resource if you want New Hampshire-specific information.
And again, if you're driving down the road and, you know, can't jot all this stuff down, obviously we're going to put all the links on our website, nhpr.org. We will not put wooden nickel websites up there. nhpr.org. Lots of resources, as you're hearing. So it'll be all on our website, nhpr.org. Here's another email. This is from Susan. She says, you mentioned at the top of the hour how a multi-state plan cannot, in fact, be used in other states. Can any of the plans be used in other states? This is important for those of us who travel for work and pleasure. Last year, we were upset to discover that the plan we chose cannot be used in other states. In our case, our daughter in college in Pennsylvania could not use the plan in there. She had to buy the plan through the college. Wow. Susan, thanks for the email. Jack, do you know about this?
I would go to Jenny.
Go to Jenny on that. Okay.
Yep. No, that's a great question. And last year, all of the plans were HMOs. And so if you went out of
health
network,
maintenance organizations.
Right, if you went out of network, then it wasn't covered. This year, there are PPOs. So there are plans that do cover out-of-network benefits. And
PPO is preferred provider organizations, something like that.
Right. So They have a network, and it's cheaper if you go in network, but you can go out network and still get some coverage, but it would be a lot more expensive. So that is an option. Again, people need to look carefully at the networks. As Jack mentioned before, there's one carrier who is including its entire Massachusetts network, so that may be of interest to people. And
but
so
there
right.
are
people
options. Do travel, and right. you know, she's got a daughter in another state, so she's probably going to Pennsylvania a lot and so forth.
Right. I mean, one point that I wanted to make, too, with the multi-state plans, it's a specific program under the Affordable Care Act, and I think it caused a lot of confusion in New Hampshire as well as other places. It doesn't mean that you can go out of network, that you can go out of state and have services be covered. What it means is that there's a carrier who has entered into an agreement with the Office of Personnel Management, who runs the federal benefit program, to offer plans in separate states. But in New Hampshire, the multi-state plans are Anthem plans. They have the same exact network as any other Anthem plan. If another multi-state carrier comes in the future, there may be something that's more of a true multi-state plan.
One more thing to look at when you dig into all that information. Did you want to jump in, John?
Yeah, just yet another reason to do your homework and try to find someone who can help you, because it is perfectly reasonable to assume that a multi-state plan would cover you in multiple states, but it does not. And it's totally counterintuitive. And this law is very big and very confusing. And even if you stand to gain from it, that's not to say that you understand how you stand to gain from it. So do your homework.
Okay. Well, and we've been talking a lot, both of you, about, you know, the right here, the right now, the enrollment that just opened up, round two this weekend. But Jack, I did want to ask you, you know, we just finished a major election. The political scene is changing in Washington. Republicans who campaigned against this law will soon be in charge of both houses of Congress. How does the uncertainty about the law's future affect the signups right now?
They don't right now. You know, I mean, think about it this way. For the first half of the open enrollment period, Democrats will still be in control of the Senate. So it doesn't really impact anything. And if you want to look a little further down the line, you know, President Obama is still in the White House. And it's hard to imagine nearly any scenario where he would not veto something that really tried to knock a leg out from under this law. Maybe Congress and the president will work together on some smaller aspects of the law. I don't know. I don't even want to hypothesize, right? But I don't see a big, you know, structural damage to this law based on the new Congress, so long as Obama's still in the White House. The bigger question is the case that's going to the Supreme Court. You know, so maybe people have heard about this, maybe just vaguely a little bit about it. Essentially, there's two big points that people should understand about the Affordable Care Act. There's two legs to this law. The first is the mandate that everyone gets insurance, right? That everyone has to go out and purchase an insurance plan. And that was already challenged in the Supreme Court. That leg is still standing. It was a 5-4 vote. You know, it was big news, and everybody kind of knows that was the biggest threat to the law. The other part of the law is to make sure that plans are affordable. We've heard from people today that not everyone thinks that they are, but for many people they are. And there's
because
a lot
of subsidies.
Because of those subsidies. So what this lawsuit is attempting to do is it's challenging the idea that states like New Hampshire, where they don't run their own website, their own health exchange website, that the federal government can't give subsidies to people in those states, that it has to be through state-run exchanges. So there's only something like 14 states that actually run their own exchanges, some of our neighbors, Vermont, Massachusetts, around the country. But most states are like New Hampshire. Most 36 states or so don't run their own health exchange website. And so the lawsuit is trying to say, hey, the federal government can't give subsidies to people in those states. It can only be through states that have their own subsidies. It's a very it's minutiae in the law. But if the Supreme Court were to decide in favor of that, that would – I don't even know exactly how that's going to impact New Hampshire at this point. I mean, it theoretically, it would take away subsidies for people. But I don't know.
Jenny, how is the whole uncertainty? I mean, I know you're at the insurance department. You're not getting involved in the politics of this. But how are some of these big questions, the political future of the Affordable Care Act, the legal future of the Affordable Care Act, how is that affecting what you guys are doing day to day?
Thanks, Laura. I mean, the insurance department has always regulated insurance, all kinds of insurance, including health insurance. And so our role since the Affordable Care Act started to take effect has really been to just to try and understand and to continue, as we always have done, to protect consumers, to understand what's happening, kind of to translate what does this actually mean for New Hampshire. So I think, as Jack said, I don't think that any of the politics in Washington will affect what happens right now. There will continue to be insurance. There will continue to be policies. We will continue to make sure that the insurance carriers comply with the terms of the policies and that consumers get what they have bargained for when they purchase the policy. We'll continue to regulate and try to make sure that the uncertainty doesn't have an effect on our market, that's a negative effect on our markets. And I think we're happy to see that we do have five carriers now this year. I think that the uncertainty in 2014 may have been part of what led to having so few carriers. So I think uncertainty is always a problem for insurance companies. So the more certainty, the better. But, you know, we've been dealing with this situation for a while and we'll continue to watch what happens.
And for most people, I think that means be careful where you get your information, you know, because there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of information out there. So try to get, if you have a specific question, you know, go to a broker, go to reputable websites, .gov, .org, news websites generally. That's the way to operate with this law.
Well, and we've been talking again about the open enrollment period on the marketplaces. But as you said at the beginning, Jack, there are a lot of other parts to this law that we didn't talk about so much this hour. There's the Medicaid expansion. There's the mandate and so forth. What else is next, Jack, for 2015 when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, outside of what we talked about today, the online marketplaces?
Well, businesses. This coming year is the first year that the Affordable Care Act will really start impacting businesses. And the way to think about it is this. For there's a lot of talk about how the law impacts small business and big business. If you have less than 50 employees, the law doesn't impact you. There's no mandate, I should say, that you have to purchase. That's right, at all. So 49 or less. Once you hit 50 or more employees, that's when there is a mandate to either provide insurance or pay a tax penalty. In 2015, this will be the first time companies with 100 or more employees are facing that mandate. The following year, 2016, it will be 50 or more employees. The thing is that a lot of those companies provide insurance for their employees anyway. You know, smaller businesses that really have about 100, 50, 200, those type of places tend to provide insurance. The places where this is going to be the most interesting to watch is really big retailers and big restaurants, you know, companies that have thousands of employees, but they tend to be low wage.
A lot of them part-time, too.
Part-time, yeah. So we saw that Target was, you know, cutting insurance for part-time workers, and they wanted to send them to the exchange. We might see more stuff like that as 2015 and 2016 move forward, as these big companies with a lot of low-wage employees, we're not really sure how they're going to react yet to this idea that they have to provide insurance for full-time workers. And full-time is 30 hours or more a week. So maybe they try to knock their hours down to 29. Maybe they decide to go for it. It's hard to say.
Yeah, these are some of the big questions that we'll have to look at with you in a future show, Jack.
Sure.
Because you're right. You know, big companies like Target, Home Depot, a couple others have cut their insurance for part-time workers, saying,
right,
hey, just go on the exchanges. In some instances, that doesn't work out for people. But in other instances, it does work out.
Right. And but I think there's always a big concern about small business, that this is really going to impact small business. I mean, I guess it depends on how you define small business.
Right.
But 2015, less than 100 employees, nothing's changing.
And then the following year,
to 99, then they're going to have to start providing insurance or pay a penalty.
All right. Well, lots more to talk about in future programs. Jack, thank you so much for giving us your time. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Jack Rodolico, NHPR's health and science reporter. Jenny Patterson, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, too.
Thanks.
That's Jenny Patterson, Health Legal Counsel at the New Hampshire Insurance Department. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. The senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producer is Faith Mikesell. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Joanna Albertson-Grove. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Kanoy.